You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 185. And my guest on the show today is Pat from Chicago, in the Illinois area of the States, of course, who has a short dream and lots of questions about her other dreams. It makes for very interesting listening. How do I know this? Because, as you know, the format for this show is that when you volunteer to be a guest on the show, you don't tell me your dream. We phone you or we Skype you, we press the record button, and that's the first time I hear the dream, and that's what you're going to hear. But because when we've done that, which we've just done, we then go back and add on the beginning of the show, I'm now here to tell you that the dream that Pat bought was a very short one, but very rich. We got a lot out of that dream, and I think you'll find it very interesting listening. We applied some dream alchemy, and then we opened up to all the other questions that Pat had written down and ready to ask about some of her dream themes in general. And I think that you'll also get a lot of tips and insights into working with your own dreams from the answers that we got from there, as well as get some insight into Pat and the work that she does and what's going on for her and her life, which I think is always one of the other pluses of having a live guest on the show. It's that feeling of listening to someone else tell their story and getting to know them and listening to their ahas and their insights as we go. And we deliver all of that with this show. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it. But just before we go there, for those of you that may be listening for the first time or don't know the drill, where do you go to listen to this show? You can listen to it from two places, either through my website at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Go there, look for The Dream Show or look for podcasts, and you'll find that you can listen to all the episodes we've ever done, which to date is 185, and we put out a new one every month. Or you can go to iTunes or go to your favorite smartphone app and search for The Dream Show, and there'll always be the last 10 episodes there of The Dream Show. So that's that. Also, I think by the time we're recording this one 6 weeks before it actually goes live, but I'm pretty confident at this stage that by the time this goes out, we will also have another website coming out that we're really looking forward to announcing, and I hope it will be ready by then. And it's offering you e-learning courses, so you'll be able to go on and for a fee, watch videos, go through courses with me, and learn how to interpret your own dreams. Oh, I hope it's out by the time this podcast goes out. If not, it'll be the next month. Or find me on Facebook. Here's Pat. Welcome to The Dream Show, Pat.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you, and I'm very excited to speak with you. I just love having guests on the show. And you are in Chicago.
Yes. I'm in a suburb in Chicago.
Fantastic.
And I'm a psychotherapist.
Wonderful. I love having psychotherapists on the show. We do from time to time, and I'm in my element. So do you have a speciality in your area, Pat?
I do a lot of group psychotherapy. So I'm certified in group psychotherapy. So that's really my passion, or my group. And therapy weekends and workshops.
Do you see people one-on-one as well?
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. I always see people one-on-one, and then I prepare them to come into a group.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Oh, I love group work, too. It changes the whole dynamic, doesn't it?
It sure does. I learn more about people when they're in a group than I do when I see them individually.
Yes, you watch the way they interact with each other.
Yes, they interact with each other the same way they do with their family of origin.
Yeah. They quickly find their place that they're used to.
They do.
Well, today we've got a situation where you and I and Michael, doing the technical stuff in the corner, are the only ones in on this conversation while we're recording it. So it's kind of like a one-on-one that you and I are having.
Okay.
But then, of course, it's going out to all these people when it goes out live. So we've got kind of a group thing going on and a one-on-one thing going on.
Okay.
Now, as usual, when we have a guest on the show, I have no idea what dream you're bringing. So what have you got for us today, Pat?
Well, I have a short dream that has stuck with me over the years. And then I would like to ask you some questions about dreams as far as patterns and themes and things like that. Would you like me to start with this dream?
Absolutely. Both of those are fantastic, and our listeners will love it. We'll love both the dream and the questions, and hopefully the answers in our discussion about them as well. So that's really great. Yeah, let's start with the dream, Pat.
Okay. Well, I'm in my basement in my home, and my son and my daughter-in-law, his wife, are in the basement with me, and we're sitting on the floor, and my daughter-in-law is sitting in front of me, and my son is in front of her, and I shoot her.
Mm. With a gun?
With a gun, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is that the end? Yeah, keep going.
I think about, why would I shoot people who are so nice and kind and parents, and it's puzzled me what I'm trying to find out about myself.
Yes,
that I
yeah.
would shoot my daughter-in-law.
Yes, that's this is a wonderful dream to bring in. And you know, just before we go into your dream, I was talking to a 14-year-old just a couple of days ago about. She'd contacted me because she'd been really worried that she'd shot her mum in a dream. So it's quite interesting that both these dreams have come up at the same time. So after we've done your dream, I might just make a reference to some teenage dreams about shooting as well. I must remember to do that.
Yes, that'd be great.
You said this was some time ago. How long ago was it, Pat?
Oh, this was about 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Okay.
That's interesting. 4 years ago, I got very, very sick.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I love that you're already, before we've even started, you're already seeing connections. That's why I'm laughing with the sense of, you know, isn't life amazing? Isn't life wonderful? You're already getting there.
Yes.
Before we've even talked about it. For people listening to the show for the first time, our dreams reflect what's been going on for us the day or two before. So our dreams are processing our conscious and unconscious experiences of the day or two before the dream. So when we go back, Pat, to your dream of about 4 years ago, this dream would have, at least to begin with, would have been processing what was going on for you in the day or two before that. So everything that we're talking about now is basically going back 4 years. And you've already said, oh, that's interesting, I was sick then. So we don't know whether you were about to be sick or were already sick or were incubating the sickness. But also, because we've just been talking about the dream, and although it's a short dream, your mind is already enveloped in the symbols that your dream brought you. And when that happens, when we're talking about our own dreams, our unconscious mind will often begin to jump up and help with the interpretation and give insights, because you're already there in your mind talking about the symbols. So it's very likely that your sickness or something around that has got something to do with this. But a couple of questions first.
Yeah.
Your daughter-in-law is sitting in front of you and your son's in front of her. When you shot her, did it go through to your son as well?
No, it just shot her in the back.
In the back. And did she die immediately?
She fell over. Yes, she fell over.
You're not sure whether she actually died?
What I recall in the dream, she didn't die, but I was, in the dream, I was so surprised that I would do something so horrific.
Yeah, okay.
To kill my daughter-in-law, attempt to kill her.
Yes. That's really interesting, because quite often in dreams where there is something devastating or traumatic goes on, I'll often say to the dreamer, in the dream, how did you feel about that? And they'll say, well, that was the worrying thing, because like, it felt totally normal to shoot this person, or I felt fantastic shooting this person. So the emotion you have in the dream can be quite different from the emotion you have when you wake up and think, oh, you know, I shot someone. But it was different for you in your dream. You noticed that in the dream. You had surprise that you would have done something so horrific. And you registered that in the dream, well, without realizing that you were dreaming.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's...
And like I said, they're kind people, and that's what was puzzling me in the dream.
Okay, that's fantastic. How did your son react in the dream, or did you wake up from it there?
I think he fell over. He wasn't shot, but he fell over also. And then I woke up.
Right.
But I was in the basement of my old house when my son was young.
Ah, so it wasn't in your current basement as of 4 years ago?
No. Right, it was in my old house.
So what did the old house represent to you?
Oh, safety, security, comfort.
And the basement in particular?
The kids would just play down there. We were sitting on a tile floor.
So the basement...
I have a hunch, Jane. Can I just right now what's coming to me?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Because they're kind, what I'm just thinking of right now is that I kill myself with kindness.
Yes. I was going to say exactly the same. I'm glad you're onto it. Keep going.
That I do so much for people, help people, that I'm killing myself. But taking care of so many people. I'm thinking of my clients and some family members. But yet I don't take care of myself. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking in the dream.
So there would be two immediate run-ons from that. One, as you said, that you got sick at that time. So you may have got sick because you weren't taking care of yourself at all levels. And the other one is that you've set the dream in the house when your kids were small. And of course, as all parents will relate, that is when most of all we're not very kind to ourselves, and we run ourselves ragged doing everything we can for our children and keeping everything else going as well. Would you relate to that?
Yes, sure.
So your dream has kind of taken you back to a place where that was definitely the case for you, where you were doing everything for other people and not a lot for yourself, and kind of trying to draw that parallel with what was happening to you then. And you also, when you talked about the dream, you mentioned your son and daughter-in-law, and you said, why would I do that to people that are nice and kind, and they're also parents? So you referenced the fact that they were parents there too. So when you say, you know, you quite accurately, and I totally agree with you, Pat, said it was like I was killing off the kind part of myself. And why would I do that? Why would I kill off my over kindness? You know, the fact that I'm overly kind to everybody and don't look after myself. You picked someone that's really kind in the dream, which was your daughter-in-law. But you also picked someone who's kind and a parent. So it's like I'm also killing off or trying to kill off this parenting, nurturing side of myself as well.
I just got goosebumps, Jane.
Yes. Those goosebumps, because we're talking about the parenting side of yourself, do you feel that there's some ability that you've got, or this will or drive you had at least 4 years ago to look after other people at the expense of yourself, was that something that really only started for you when you had your own children?
No, I had to look after my parents.
Ah, okay.
As a little girl,
How old were you when that began for you?
Probably 4 or 5.
4 or 5. And is either of your daughter-in-law's children that age at the moment? Would they have been that age 4 years ago?
No, they were older.
They were older.
They're a little bit older. Yeah. Something just clicked. I was the parent for my parents, so...
Yes.
So I'm killing these parents.
Yes.
Or my daughter-in-law.
Because you're, unconsciously at least, tired and exhausted of being a parent. You've been a parent all your life since the age of 4 or 5.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And you shot her in the back... she was sitting in front of you and your son was in front of her. So it's almost like, well, I know how I feel it was like, but what sense did you get that feeling of sitting on the floor with them sitting directly in front of you? They were looking away from you, presumably.
Yes. The sense was that they didn't expect it, but it's interesting. You know, I kind of had my legs open and they were between my legs.
Mm, like birthing children?
Yeah.
Possibly. What other feeling did you get with them sitting between your legs? Did it give you, like, I know as a parent you sit like that with little children, don't you too? But mm-hmm. was there any other feeling that you got from that formation of sitting?
I didn't like it. Mm. I didn't like it. It wasn't a pleasant feeling.
Yeah. What? In what way wasn't it pleasant? What was
that I had to put them between my legs, that I didn't free will. You know, it was sort of like innate to put them between my legs.
Right. Okay. So in the same sense
without
that.
Go ahead.
No. What were you going to say? Without any.
I didn't want it.
Yes.
I was uncomfortable.
Yeah. In a similar way to how when parenting is an absolute joy, but there are times when there are duties to be performed and we don't really mm-hmm. want to be sitting there with our children between our legs.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child parent that you were for your mum and dad, there's that sense of a duty that you had to do that was... I'm sure there were pleasantries in it, but on the whole was unpleasant for a child that would rather play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I just realised for a child mm-hmm. would rather play, and you've set this dream in the basement of your old home, and you said, I said, what would the old house represent for you? And you said, safety, security, comfort. I said, what would the basement represent to you? And you said, play. It was where the children used to play.
Oh, yeah, that's where they played.
Yeah.
What a basement represents me is unconscious or below ground or underground.
Right, okay, so it was probably both of these. You know, you were in the unconscious, definitely, but because your dream didn't put you in any old dream house or in your current house of 4 years ago, it actually took you back to the house where your children were small and used to play in the basement. I'm connecting uh-huh. that play with when you were age 4 or 5, you didn't get to play as much as children should at 4 or 5 and onwards. You had to be the parent.
That's true. Oh, that's very true.
So you could
that's
then say, yeah, so that image of you sitting in the basement, which should be where you could play, and instead you had to have your legs out in this uncomfortable position, protecting being the parent to whoever was in front of you.
Yes.
So and you were over that, you shot that. So there's that sense of what's in front of me here also in the dream. These people are in front of me, my son and my daughter-in-law. Have I got my whole life ahead of me of being uncomfortable, having to parent other people, not getting to play myself, and I've had enough of this, and bang, I'm doing the shooting, and then the surprise, mm-hmm. oh, how could I be horrific, you know, kicking in the dream, because there will be a part of you that wants to kill off the kind parent within yourself, the overkind, and the other part of you says, how can I possibly do that? So what I'd love to know is, I don't know if you can remember back that far, Pat, but have you any idea around the time of that dream what kicked in for you to make you think, I mean, I've got an idea of what it might be, but I'm asking you, what kicked in, do you think, to make you think, okay, now I'm ready to shoot this thing. I really want to get rid of this thing. I'm at least in this moment, I'm over being kind to other people.
in the dream or in real life?
In waking life, yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, well, my parents were... A big responsibility because they were aging,
mm-hmm.
and I had to, at that time, do a lot of the caretaking.
Mm. So you were being
my job was never done.
Yes,
it's never done.
Yeah. So you were really brought to the brink of, I really, at least unconsciously, at least in the depths uh-huh. of my basement unconscious, I need to kill off this aspect of myself because I'm feeling so uncomfortable, I'm not getting to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah. And when you also became sick at that time, can you relate, whether or not you share how you were sick with us in the air, can you relate the sickness, looking back with wisdom and hindsight, to what was going on for you with that overwork and overcaring?
Yes, that I didn't pay attention to the symptoms that I had, that I kind of let them go, thinking just not taking time to take care of myself.
Yes, yeah.
And then I got so sick.
Yes. And if only we, you know, could follow our, what we gain, the insight we gain about ourselves through the dreams, if we have the courage when we wake up to say, yes, you know, I really do need to stop being so kind and exhausting myself. You might have noticed the symptoms and started to look after yourself and not got sick.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like I said a little while ago, that I kill myself with kindness with others.
Yes, that's right. And in the back, you know, in the dream, it was a sense of killing in the back as well. It was like we have that cliche that I can't think of exactly at the moment, but we shoot someone in the back when they're not looking, you know, when it's which can be a kind of sabotage thing as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're right. There's, on the one sense, you are killing yourself with kindness to other people. On the other sense, you want to kill off unconsciously this aspect of yourself that is like your daughter-in-law, that is overly kind and you know, so you're kind of recognizing in her that aspect of yourself and wanting to kill it off, as well as actually killing yourself with kindness, getting sick.
Yes. I agree, yeah.
I wanted to, just before tying up on that one, I just wanted to do this little sidestep and mention the 14-year-old that I was talking to the other day about her dream of killing her parent, because it's one of the kind of universal themes of teenage children. And of course, in my consultation business, unless a parent brings a child or a teenager with them, I find myself in the position over the internet of a lot of teenagers contacting me to ask for advice, which of course they're too young to legally pay for, so it's work done on the side. And one of the most common themes is that sense of either seeing a parent die or quite often shooting the parent, and sometimes feeling okay about that in the dream. And it often comes up for, you know, for teenagers who, of course, are in that phase, as you would know, Pat, where they're really, well, as everyone would know, I guess, where as a teenager, your job is to become independent or start to become independent, start to examine the values and beliefs your parents have taught you, start to think, well, which of those do I want to take forward with me? In which ways do I want to be different? And that can often be seen in the dream as killing off the parent. Like, I don't want to take those beliefs or values with me. You know, I want to be,
Would you say it's liberating then for the teenager in a way to kill off?
Absolutely. Killing off the beliefs and the values that they've been growing up with, or some of them, not all of them, and feeling free to make decisions of their, you know, their own. But of course, when they wake up, they're horrified. They contact me. What I want to, you know, they want to know, is someone else going to shoot my parents? Am I a bad person because I shot my parents in my dream? You know, and that's really just why I wanted to take that sidestep here and remind everybody that when you do shoot someone in your dream, it's not that you've got this death wish on the other person. You know, everything is all about you, and it's about the dynamics within your life and what's happening with you. And as you say, with yourself, killing yourself with kindness at the time, but also also an unconscious wish to some extent to kill off the part of yourself that was too kind and not looking after yourself.
I never thought of it that way.
I agree. That's one of the things about dreams, that you can kind of look at them on different levels at the same time, and all the levels can be correct at the same time, hold truth at the same time, and give insight at the same time, which is one of the things I love about dreams. It's not that there is only one way to look at them. There are often multiple ways which feed in. I know you've got these other questions to ask, but is there anything else you want to explore or talk about or ask about that particular dream before we move to that?
No, I really agree with what you said about parents.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
Well, before you ask the questions, can I ask you a question? Are you looking after yourself well these days, Pat?
Am I what?
You're still not doing it.
No.
Revisiting the dream, does it give you any feeling now that, does it give you any more impetus now to wanting to look after yourself more?
Yes. Mm. Just this morning, Jane, I was thinking about all the people that approach me to do something, and I thought about, what is it that I give off that people ask me to do things?
Mm.
So, I mean, it's interesting. We're talking about this dream, and then just this morning, I was thinking, while I was getting ready to go to my office, yesterday, I could think of 5 different people, not clients, that asked me to do things. And, you know, I've got to look at what it is that I give off that people can tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Does your kindness shine through?
Kindness, maybe some willingness.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you woke up with that this morning. So, you know, you can work with that now and without stepping back from being kind and willing, because those are lovely virtues to have, to, you know, be able to still decide within the realms of being kind and willing to be able to say yes to this one, no to this one, or delegate something or suggest something to somebody else that doesn't actually involve you.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll be able to do that. But having this dream so fresh in your mind may give you some, you know, some great ideas there. You could even work visually with the dream to think, even though it's an old one, because it's still pertinent to some extent, to maybe, let me have a think about this, what could you do? To maybe have the idea of revisiting the dream, but... So picturing yourself sitting in the dream with as you were at the beginning, uncomfortable with your legs apart and the daughter-in-law in front of you and then the son in front of them, but then to visualize saying, oh, this is so uncomfortable, let's get up and play. And either visualize yourself playing like kids, or visualize yourself playing like adults, or dancing, but just completely switching into a comfortable feeling of play that is, and as you're visualizing that, to summon up a feeling of looking after yourself, of this being kind to yourself. So there's a sense of vitality and dance and play in your reimagining of the dream. And in doing that, it's really passing it over to your unconscious mind, which originally came up with those symbols, to do a similar thing in life. So you're saying to your unconscious mind, instead of many ways of kind of shooting or killing off this aspect of myself, how can I transform it? How can I still be kind and loving, but how can I transform this so that it is more playful for me, so that I enjoy it, so that I'm comfortable, so that it's win-win for everybody, but I'm not doing all the tough stuff. So re-envisaging that, which is a dream alchemy, and re-envisaging that over and over again, and handing it over to your unconscious mind for it to come up with solutions. How does that sound?
Mm. That sounds very good at just changing the whole visual of the dream.
Mm.
And yes. I have one question with this dream, Jane, something just as you were talking. There's another aspect that, to kill off these parents so I could play.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at all different facets of this dream, which is eye-opening from you.
It is, isn't it, that when you start to walk around and dream and look at it in all the different facets, as you say, or areas. So you do effectively want to, in everyday language, kill off that part of yourself. But when we do a dream alchemy like that, reimagining, that visualization that we've just discussed, if you actually carry that through and kill off the character in the reimagining, because everyone in a dream represents something about yourself, if you kill off that aspect, you're kind of leaving a hole in the psyche. So rather than kill it off, it's better to transform it. So you might want to, in everyday language, you're exactly right, you want to kill off the part of yourself that is overly kind and is not is not looking after yourself. But if we can think instead of killing off to transforming, so that you transform overly kind and draining kind of energy, where you drain yourself giving and giving and giving, to transform that into a more balanced sense where you give and you receive, you give and you receive, you give and you receive. Mm. So in a sense, in the reimagining, to bring the daughter-in-law to her feet to join in the game and the play, and you're all playing and you're all being nourished from it, is putting things into more equilibrium.
Yes, yeah, I like that. It's a nice way for me to change this dream around.
Yes, yeah. And there's so much power in doing that in the Dream Alchemy. And I usually recommend it for any dream that we have, to take that approach, because you're working with the symbols from your unconscious mind, that's where the power is. You know, we can all during the day think, oh, I'm going to think up a conscious affirmation, or I'm definitely going to do this, or I'm going to change my ways. And those are all things we decide with our conscious mind. And as you well know, Pat, the unconscious mind is far more stronger and powerful than that. It has its way.
Yes, so, that's,
you know, so you need to. You need to tap in at that level. So by doing the Dream Alchemy and turning around the symbols, you're actually talking to your unconscious mind using its language, the language of the symbols of your dream, and making the transformations there. And then as you begin to go through life, you begin to notice yourself responding differently because your unconscious has a different view.
Very good, yeah. Mm. Question, would you say that, let's see, the dream... I forgot.
That's all right.
Keep going.
Yeah, that's okay.
It'll come back.
If you move to the questions that you've got, and that one will miraculously pop up somewhere when you remember it.
Yes, I do. I have questions, but I dream a lot, and I can go back to dreams and add on to them, or. Some dreams help me to fall asleep if I go back to a dream and I'm not thinking about what I have to do tomorrow. But the patterns in my dreams are two things. I'm either barefoot walking on pebbles in pain, or I'm gliding quickly on something that looks like a rollerblade.
So on the rollerblade, you're actually whizzing along, going along fast?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But not in the same dream. Sometimes it's the rollerblade dream, sometimes it's the feet over the pedals dream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's really interesting. Go on.
There's pain walking on the pebbles.
Yes, yeah.
Very painful. Because I'm barefoot.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? You know, because you can't take a dream dictionary approach, that just doesn't work. Our symbols are personal to us, but you can get a feeling from the symbols. And quite often when people talk to me about going barefoot in dreams, I'd say my gut feel is maybe 10% of barefoot dreams are painful and uncomfortable, and the others are usually like, whoa, I was barefoot in my dream and it felt so good, it felt so free, like I was totally in touch with the ground, or totally in touch with the earth. And yours isn't that. Yours is a feeling of pain. But
yes.
What we're noticing, and what you've obviously noticed, is the complete opposites. One is your feet are in contact with the pebbles, but it's painful. And the other is your feet are in contact with more of a mechanical device, but it's not painful. And you're making fast progress. So it's two opposites. And when you get opposites, either in a dream or in recurring themes that you've got, where you can say, oh, some dreams I've got this thing going on, other dreams I've got the complete opposite. That will usually define the way I look at dreams, Pat. That usually defines an issue that you're struggling to find a sense of balance with. So at times in your life when, because dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days, at times in your life when you're feeling, oh, look, I am in contact with the ground, but it's feeling so painful, it feels uncomfortable being so in touch with the ground here and with these pebbles. We'll work out what the pebbles mean in a minute, but there's a sense of, you know, my grounding, or the way in which I walk through my life should be much more natural. Maybe it should be grass, it should be soil, it should be lovely, or I should have protection, but instead it just all feels so painful and difficult. And then other times in your life when you're almost with the rollerblades getting, I don't know, I'm going to ask you some questions about those in a minute, but you're almost getting mechanical assistance. You're not directly in contact with the ground. There's some kind of protection and assistance there with speed, and then it's the exact opposite. So there may be times when you think to yourself, yeah, I'm really flying along, I'm doing really well at the moment, there's no pain in my life, I'm really making progress. Then you may have those kind of dreams, or vice versa. It can also work out that when you're at times in your life when you go, yeah, I'm really making progress, I'm fantastic, you may have dreams where you're actually more like the pebble dreams, where it's painful, and I'll explain that in a minute. And other dreams, when other times in life when things are really difficult and really painful and slow for you, you can dream that way, I'm whizzing along. So it can work either way, but what the dreams are really showing you are two opposites. So I would say that there are times in your life when, and I think it's to do with helping people in the way that you said, where you're totally in contact with the ground and yet it's not giving you the nourishment that you need. It's all pebbles, it's all hard work, it's painful. And it's painful, slow progress because of that. And there are other times when you get assistance or you allow yourself to fly and it's all easy and you're all making progress and it feels fantastic. But I don't know, maybe sometimes it's too fast. And the thing about the rollerblades is you've got to take them off sometime and you're not really in contact with the ground. And the ideal position would be halfway between, like where you're in contact with the ground and making progress, maybe not on rollerblades, maybe in running shoes, or maybe, you know, making good progress, not too fast, not too slow, but feeling good about it. How does this sound so far?
It sounds good. I have one question. Mm. In reality, in real life, I have very painful feet. Mm. So I don't know how much of reality goes into the dream.
I'd say both ways, Pat, because when you were born, your feet were okay when you were born?
Yes. It's from surgeries that were poorly done.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have a lot of foot pain regularly.
So you're right. Your dreams may be processing that actual pain that you've got and trying to find a solution, like get your rollerblades is what your unconscious mind's coming up with. You know, mm-hmm. Find some, I think I described them as mechanical assistance. The rollerblades was what occurred to me. So maybe, you know, maybe your unconscious mind is going, mechanical assistance. Is there not rollerblades, but is there some kind of
wheelchair.
Hopefully not that. Some kind of inserts that you can get to put in your shoes, or something that gives you that kind of mechanical assistance, or consulting someone that can give you physiotherapeutic sort of mechanical assistance. But the other side of that, and you know, you've had the surgery now, and it hasn't been done well, from what you said. So you've kind of got to find either ways to, as you say, you know, I guess live with it, or find ways to find therapy that can assist you with that. But if you go back before that, you know, one could question, well, what happened to your feet in the first place that required the surgery? And was that perhaps something that you might have noticed signs with earlier, that you weren't looking after yourself well then? You know, so the physical symptoms that we've got are not always, but are often associated with what's going on for us mentally and emotionally anyway. So they can come back to the dream sense, you know, and there may have been a point earlier in your life where you did take literally the pain of too much, metaphorically having your feet in contact with the hard stuff in life. You took a lot of burdens on your shoulders, heavily weighed down, which, you know, you do take on a lot of stuff from other people. Where would that tell in your feet? So, you know, the body can reflect the imagery back to you.
I agree. I'm thinking the way I didn't take care of myself was to have surgery in the first place. I could have lived with the problem I had. I was better off than when I had the surgery. So.
Yes. So
both dreams, I'm kind of tying them together, that they're both telling me that I don't take care of myself.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you can read from that. I mean, they're telling you in respect of, they're feeding back to you, this is you, Pat. On any one night, this is your mindset. This is where you're at. At this moment, you're not taking care of yourself. At this moment, you're not taking care of yourself. And then you can look into that and go, okay, what am I going to do with this deeper insight that I've got for myself? Or what am I going to do with knowing that a lot of this not taking care of myself is not conscious, it's unconscious? You know, what am I going to do with this information? And then using the symbols from the dream like that, you can say, okay, wherever there are opposites, either in the same dream or across a number of themes of dreams, you can say quite often the solution is in the middle. It's a bit like the Chinese Tao. You know, we live at one extreme or the other. We may carry all the weight because we don't see how we can fly, or we might fly because we don't see how we can carry the weight. Whereas in fact, the middle path or the Tao is to say, I can carry some weight and I can also fly. And I can be in this sort of middle balanced path. So you can learn that from the dream. And then, you know, maybe when you make decisions, when people ask you for help outside of your business, as you've described, you can say to yourself, I still want to be a kind and loving person because that is the right thing to be in the world. But, you know, in what ways can I walk a middle path here, literally? In what ways can I stop myself from walking over pebbles or maybe ridding around on roller skates when I'd rather smell the roses, whatever it is? How can I use that imagery from the dream to find the way to say yes or no to this person, or yes, I can do this but not this, or let me help you find someone to do this bit and I'll do this bit? How can I walk the middle path without taking the full burden?
Then just to clarify what you're saying, if I take the dream and look at it, it's really telling me a way to solve something today in my life.
I think so, yeah. I'm always very careful to use the wording, what a dream is telling you, because a dream doesn't actually, I know we're using the kind of words of everyday language, but the dream isn't really holding advice for you. It is showing you where you're at. It's showing you these are your unconscious beliefs, these are your unconscious emotions, these are the patterns that you've got in life. You know, you tend to be too kind to people, you tend to take on burdens, whatever it is. But it's not telling you what to do, but you then look into that and go, what can I now do knowing this? And seeing that sense of the two opposites can give you that good clue. Ooh, I see extremes here. I'm either at one extreme or the other. You know, there'll be days when you go, I'm not taking on any more of that stuff. I'm on rollerblades today. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
I like the metaphor.
Yeah, metaphor. And I think, you know, often, Pat, people say, oh, why don't dreams just talk straightforward to us? Why don't they just show it as it is? And it's because that part of our brain, you know, the logical part of our brain is really switched off, and it's left to the right brain to kind of create and paint the picture. But personally, I like that. I like the fact that dreams paint metaphors, because when you actually twist and turn your brain and get into that groove of looking at your dreams, you begin to then look at your life in metaphors, and it's easier to see solutions.
I like that. That's terrific. Yeah.
We've got time for some more of your questions. Yes.
In some of my dreams, just for an example, let's say I got shot. In the dream, I can actually feel what it feels like to be shot, but I've never been shot. Or let's say it's a fire and I can feel the burn. What does that mean, Jane?
Yeah, that's a fantastic, very rich question. I'm going to have lots of different answers for you. My first answer is, I wonder what it really feels like to be shot. You know, you say I felt like it would be to be shot, but because you haven't been shot, you don't actually really know that. You're feeling what?
That's right.
Yeah, you're feeling what you think it might be like to be shot.
I see. Okay, I follow you.
So that's one thing. Same with the fire. Okay. Unless you've actually been burned, you don't actually know what it's like to be burned. So your dreaming brain is going, I think with everything I know about the world, I think this would be how it would feel. And then because when we don't remember too many of our dreams, and you remember a lot, so you're a practiced dreamer. When we don't remember too many, we tend to think that we just dream in hearing people speak, sound and visuals. But the more we remember, the more practice we get in recalling, as you are, the more our other senses come in. You know, we smell, we taste, we feel. And so when we do those things, the part of the brain that that would see something when you're awake is the same part of your brain that is activated when you're seeing something while you're dreaming. The part of your brain that would smell something while you're awake is the same part of your brain that is activated when you're smelling in your dream. And so when you are shot in a dream or when you're in a fire, that the parts of your brain that would feel hot, cold, pain, intensity, whatever it was you felt, sharpness, are actually working too. Mm-hmm. But they're working mostly from an idea of imagination, what you have believed, what you believe it would feel like to feel those things.
Oh, very good. I like that. Good. I have another question.
I love your questions.
Okay. another theme in my dreams is that I'm attempting to separate people and put them into different groups or categories, that I'm kind of the person who is, this is just a common theme, where I'm trying to put people in their place.
In their place by category or in their place by behavior?
By their behavior.
So when you say put, like we say, I put a child in place, I tell them what to do, do you mean like that?
Yeah, to stop a disagreement.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, I don't know where that all comes from. family, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. The thing with these is to take that big, deep breath and then remember that everything and everyone in a dream represents something about the dreamer. Now, it's hardest to do when you dream of people that you know, like family or colleagues you work with, because in the dream it feels so real, like this really feels like that person that I'm telling off or putting in their place or categorizing or whatever. And it's really hard to think what does this person symbolize. You know, if it's a dream about sorting out red, pink and orange balls, it's much easier to say, well, they're dream symbols, I wonder what they might represent for us. It's much more challenging to do that with people, but more rewarding when you can. But I think the key thing to do there is to say, okay, there are several approaches. One is that the bottom line is what you're doing is separating people to avoid conflict, isn't it?
Yes.
In the dream, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if these all represent parts of yourself, this dream may be coming up at times when you are feeling conflict and you're trying to deal with it by separating the aspects of your conflict, of your inner conflict. So what I would do with – that's not my only answer to the dream, but what I would do with that is, say you have a dream and you, you've got – Peter, Jane and Mary, and these three people you're trying to separate, I would then, when you're awake, do a dialogue on paper, and I would get Peter, Jane and Mary to talk to each other, a bit like a film script.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then you would then move into, because of your background and your professional background, Pat, you're essentially watching them and listening to them and listening to their grievances and listening to their conflicts. And then hopefully on paper they would mediate themselves through it and come up with some solutions and come up with some integration. So what you're actually looking at doing is saying, these represent inner conflicts I've got or aspects of my personality or approach to life that are in conflict with each other at the moment in this dream. If I can let them talk this out on paper or even mediate it with them, then I'm going to integrate these aspects of the conflict and find a resolution.
Wow, very good. I like this. Great.
You may, because you're putting them in their place too. I mean, there's two other things. One is that you, as you said at the beginning of the show, you work a lot in group therapy, so you're used to sitting with a group and seeing, well, you know, this person is playing this kind of role, this person's playing that kind of role. So it's part of your professional ability, in a sense, to sort of categorize people to give you, from an academic point of view, to give you a reference for how to work with them, and you may be applying that process in your dream. And the other one may be, because you have the sense of putting people in their place in the dream, there may be a dynamic going on within you where there's lots of parts of yourself that don't want to be put in their place. And I can imagine this. There'll be parts of your self that want to be go back to being a child and live that playful life you didn't get to live because you were looking after your parents. There'll be all that kind of, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And the part of Pat that had to be an early parent to your own parents, the part of you that had to be responsible and put people in their place and stop people playing up and, you know, let's get on with things, may be active too. So those dreams may be showing that a further conflict of the part of you that wants to keep everything under control and look after, and the part of you that really break out. And again, Pat, finding that middle path, really, you know, if you dialogue with those characters and get them to find a way to live comfortably together, that may be sometimes playing, it may be sometimes being sensible, but living in that middle path area where everything's in balance.
Jane, have you ever had worked with people where you had them be the different parts without writing them down?
The gest up, moving from chair to chair. Do you do that with some of your clients?
I like that.
Yeah, would you like to describe it for people listening in?
Well, we have done a lot of gestalt work, but at the same time, I like the idea to do that with their dreams.
Mm. And
that's great.
How do you find people? Do you do that one-on-one or in groups?
Oh, in group. Well, both. I've done it both. I have an interesting dream a client had about me. I don't know if we have time for that.
We've got time for this last one, Pat. Yes, go on.
Okay. It's kind of funny. In his dream, he was eating a salad off of my back.
Yeah.
And he interpreted it as, I can back him up when things are all mixed up. Salad's all mixed up. We all kind of laughed in group one night about that one. They all pictured him eating the salad off my back.
I love the humor that our dreams can come up with. It really gets the message across, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's lovely, and I love that you work in that gest out or guest out way with people too, sitting them in the chair. So for people listening in that not quite sure how that works, if you did it with your man with a salad on the back before you helped him understand his dream, for example, what Pat would do is put the guy in the dreamer in one chair, and he'd be himself, wouldn't you? He'd be himself, and then he'd move to the other chair to be the salad. And he would talk as the salad, wouldn't he?
Yes.
And he would say, I'm a mixed salad, I'm all mixed up.
Or what he's made up of, you know, what is a salad, describe it. I like that.
And
that's fun.
And he'd have another chair where he was your back?
Yes. I like that.
Yeah. So that's something everyone, I'm glad you work with that. It's lovely and especially fun in groups. And so for everyone listening in, you don't need other people to do that with. You can do it yourself too. You can actually set up at least two chairs or maybe more. And actually by physically going and sitting in the space and being that dream symbol or being the person in your dream and talking from their point of view, it's actually very insightful. There's something about getting up and walking to the other chair, isn't there, Pat, that really puts you in that position. But you're right. You know, when I say the dialogue method, it's really transferring that to doing it as a free form with pen and paper or on the keyboard and just doing it sentence around and actually having the dialogue. We are out of time, and you have been a fabulous guest.
This has been very enlightening. Excellent. I have a lot to think about.
Yeah. And I hope that that you'll do the dream alchemy exercise and find yourself walking that middle path, Pat, where you spend more time being kind to yourself as well as to other people looking after yourself and nurturing yourself. Thank you for being a fantastic guest on The Dream Show.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show, and I'm sure you got heaps out of listening to Pat and I having that discussion there. Thanks to Pat yet again. We have had so many fabulous guests on The Dream Show over these, how many years is it? 9 years we've been going, I think, and we've got no intention for stopping. And one of the things that I love about putting this show out is the fact that as long as you can afford an internet connection or you can get on the internet somewhere, anywhere in the world, and you speak English, or at least you understand English, you've got this massive free resource at your fingertips to, it's a lot of work. It's work to listen to podcasts. It's work to slowly absorb the techniques of looking at dreams and understanding them. But I think it's a valuable resource to have out there, and I enjoy welcoming people who volunteer to be guests on the show to help us to keep that resource going. If you'd like to volunteer to be a guest on the show, either by phone or Skype, as Pat's just been, or by email, there's that alternative as well. Just go to janetheresa.com, go to the Dream Show or podcasts, and you'll see on the menu a drop-down box that says be a guest on the show or something like that, and fill in the form and contact me that way. And yeah, be great. Love having guests on the show. Have a wonderful month. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 186, will be out on the 6th of January 2017, if you're listening to this in real time. And of course, if you're just going back through all the back episodes, then, well, who knows where we'll be up to by then. Have a wonderful month. I'll speak to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.